interrupting this current cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is BTW RLM 361, or it's 362, excuse me. See how this works, folks? As we look through the week, that escalated quickly. For all of you all that listen Behind the Woodshed, that wasn't a surprise. But what you going to do about it? I don't know what more to say. It's pretty funny in a way. I've actually got a big smile on my face. I'm hoping this thing is a good thing. I'm hoping it focuses everybody on what starts to become important. Part of me says it's not going to happen, but the other part of me is optimistic. So I wish the best for you all, that you all figure out what you're seeing really is a direct relationship to the inaction to stop it or the proper way to address it. Now, what I'm looking at here, and what am I talking about? What this first tweet put out, someone finally coming to terms, and I was going to respond, but I'm realizing I got to be careful about responding to some of this stuff. So people live in different countries or have different ideas and all, and I decided not to respond to quite a few things that seem obvious to me, but not to people that are just coming onto the realization. The global police state lockdown continues to spread. Nothing I didn't tell you right at the first broadcast of the new year 2020, hindsight 2020, the op 2020. Will they do it or will you do it? Have we learned enough or not? But this one, this Twitter account, the global state lockdown, really tells what's going on in the news right now as well, which I found fascinating. Lockdown, folks. What is nothing more than describing the perceived open-air prison that is written into wherever you look at for government, it's written in there to see that it exists that way. And you're not really highly thought of, notwithstanding what you might think about yourself. And that required everybody pull together, instead of fighting, pull together and figure out how they were going to throw it out. Why I thought Virginia, the Virginia gun thing, was so important. And that seems to have fizzled as well. And that was probably as close as we may get, I hope, that we get better, but that may be as close as we get to seeing what should have happened. And so there's still this thing that can happen. But I was reminded about myself, about miners that go out in the forest, and they're told that they can't go on the highways. And yet the miner has a word in their mouth, and they will pass. And as I saw it put in the chat, the RLM chat, you embrace the anomalies within the so-called order or the rule or whatever, the suggestion, and you're going to pass through. And I've been explaining how to look for all that all these years. And this too shall pass, so it's not even like I'm too thrilled about it, that it's too much of a big deal. I don't know quite how far they want to push it, but they're planting the seeds, just as I told you, just at the first of the year. And so I don't know what to say. Now everyone's jumping on this martial law stuff, folks. It was in the law. You know, again, I didn't push it during the pigs fly flu because I didn't think it was actually going to trigger at all. But you did hear me do it to this year. So it's not that we could see martial law was possible. It's when was it going to be happening? And I told you the trauma-based remembrance, the re-triggering of 911 would be happening in hindsight 2020 year. And so here we are. But there's a mechanism, and that's what I keep wanting to point to you all the time, how you look at this stuff so it's not so overwhelming. Well, now you have a lot of time on your hands for the most part. Some of you don't. Some of you are understanding how to move around. Some of you aren't locked down quite yet. I think you should keep track of all this stuff and watch how they pull this off. They telegraph exactly how things are happening. And the limit. And this is what always intrigues me. Are you looking at the limit of the oppressor doing what they do under the excuse, in this case, called coronavirus? Again, they take a natural, and this is the time you don't get wild. You don't start declaring that this thing is man-made. You go ahead and use the most conservative view that it's natural. Given it's natural, what's the problem? It's only because of the promotion. It's now creating a crisis out of nothing, which is telegraphed, the spaghetti western is telegraphed into you, and you respond in the wrong ways. If you look very carefully, the governments are responding now because of the way you respond. I've been trying to explain all this. I have been explaining it, whether people appreciate it, but for those that will listen, and there's a way to approach this. And I find it pretty fascinating. As it slowly comes closer and closer to where I'm at, my mind is now shifting into what am I going to respond with. And I find it very interesting. My response is, what's my bag of law? That's my very first thing I'm wondering. What am I going to do as carry an authority with me against a presumptive lockdown? I told you a while back, and I felt comfortable then to bring it out here a few months ago. I realized a long, long time ago that we're just in different stages of the prison. It just depends on how much you behave for the occupier's permission to let you out into a bigger world. And now we're starting to see that that bigger world can be locked down. That's why people see it as a lockdown. But if you look very carefully, it's not a quarantine. And there's also another thing, it's a self-isolation. And so you have to understand that there's a dynamic being worked, that the people that are the occupiers, whether you recognize this or not, understand the limit that they have on, and they have to constrain their activities through that and hope you don't perceive what those are. Let me finish this tweet and I'll get moving on here, because it moves it into some interesting dynamics. Like I said, boy, it just escalated quickly, didn't it? Just as I told you, they would find and do, and now it's just a limit. Where are they going to be limited? And that's a lot about how we respond. But the global police state lockdown continues to spread. It's terrifying. It's a terrifying new world, one where you get sent to actual jail if you're not staying inside your home jail. I think that was the perfect description of the open-air prison you live in. And whether or not you behave correctly. Are you a trustee of the system that doesn't threaten the system? Then you're going to be allowed out a little farther. At any rate, that's being locked down now. With every passing day, she writes, I begin to fear the response more than the disease. But I fear both, so I'm staying safe. And that's a natural response. I don't want to criticize the natural response. And you should stay safe. Absolutely stay safe. But what you can't do is fear. And I don't want to criticize these things too much. This is what we will respond with. Having knowledge kind of removes you from a lot of the fear-based things. There's a danger, though, that you know enough that you laugh at it all and don't really do much more than laugh, and that's not a good thing either. But there is a fear, the response more to the disease is triggered off of how you respond, first of all. Then it's what you do to protect yourself within the constraint of what they're bringing on. And to me, it's not. Everyone's mentioned in martial law, I've told you for years. I came on broadcasting telling you you lived under martial law. It just didn't look like it. Why I called this place the Spaghetti Western. It's a false front. You don't even know what you're looking at. And the way you decipher that is to go into the code with your magic decoder ring and start reading how this place is wired, where the real authorities are and what they aren't. And then you start to see more and more of these occupations, as I call them, these layers to this problem. So I want to commend the tweeter here. Yes, you're now seeing it. You're seeing you lived in an open-air prison. That's not a surprise to me, but don't fear. Fear is what they feed on. Being terrorized is what they feed on. What they can't figure out is how you become fluid and how you respond to their Achilles heels, and there's numbers of them. If they didn't have a limit, they wouldn't be going this way. They wouldn't be trying to make sure that you didn't find out the secrets and find out. And it is in a time now when they go to the bigger governments moving executively, understand the jurisdiction, understand your governments here. This is very important. When they're declaring emergencies, they're declaring that you have a problem, and you are the problem. That doesn't sound much different than climate change, doesn't it? That the people are the problem. Yeah, it's the very same thing, folks. They're working right through the same model. And yet there's ways through it. And you work through the organic authorities that circumvent what they're doing here. And what have I said when they come with the ultimate against you? You have to find, not an argument, you find where their position is failed and faulty and fraudulent, more importantly, like I think I can do with what we see called coronavirus. Do you want to disregard the natural flu season? No, you don't. Do you want to disregard that there's a coronavirus out there that even naturally, without anticipating any other thought that it's naturally occurring, that it can affect you and hurt you and kill you? No, it can't. Now, I say that going to the natural one, the most conservative one, because you will be blown out of the water when you try to bring anything else. You got to get right back to the basics and look at what was required. As I was pointing out to you last week, as I said, quarantining your civil liberties against the two governmental or judicial department orders that did not utilize facts but assumptions and administrative deference instead of facts, that they've relinquished, the executive has relinquished itself into the more, what, military authority, what looks like the cops to you, which looks like the ability to dictate to you. When in fact, when you look at what those things are saying and you look at the support they had, they were hollow. They had nothing. We're going to cover a little bit of that today, so I better move on because lots of stuff. I was throwing links out last night because I just didn't, just so much to do. But here's someone who's seeing it now for herself, and that's great. But she describes it exactly what she's seeing, and it's a lockdown. You live in the open-air prison. I've said, well, how do you deal with it? You're going to be dealing with the wardens who think they're all powerful. How do you deal in that context? And there is a way to do it, but as we move into the more and more big, larger constraints, like when they're moving into the police forces and absolute authority they think they have, and then they bring in the military more directly, they bring it forward is all they're doing. It's already sitting back there. They bring it forward and become more present. They're doing that now this week as well. And you're going to be looking for one particular thing when it finally goes full-blown, but they're also telegraphing coming in. But you can address that, but it requires more people to start seeing that. Because likely you become the witness against the crime, you're not going to exist very long if there's no one to see it. Okay, so that's the hard part here. And most people know that, and so they back off and they're afraid. And they become crickets. When right now is the time to start challenging these people at every turn. And I'll see if I can get to some of this and how we do this. But as we came off of last broadcast, I was telling you about the emergencies, how they start triggering the more important potential authorities that they claim to lock you down more and more. DOD, now, and it comes out within the system. This stuff isn't in the system. I told you, like 911, they already had the Patriot, PATIROT Act already done when that thing happened. So it was in the works. Like here now, we see, I told you this was going to happen. The DOJ seeks new emergency powers amid coronavirus pandemic. And so they already are seeking now within the system, silent to you, larger constraints. Like I told you, they would be just reproducing what happened in 911 on a more potent power, because they can't just come in and take this all from you. The people with guns would step out, and they're going to keep that, they're going to keep those controlled. And they have a foe, the foe, the FAUX. FOE, for some of you that I noticed in a picture that Gary L put, you can't spell. Anyway, it's not looking good, folks. But anyway, that foe can be exposed for its falsity. And then you start to enumerate the better power that you have. And I know it sounds trite, but remember we talked in Virginia's case where the posterity stands up. What's the civil authority, folks? The civil authority ultimately becomes the people. Don't ever forget that. The creature, the government, established by the posterity through its constitution, is not the real power. They've invoked military authority here, though it doesn't look like it. It's like through the cops. Well, I'm going to go expose something here as well that people don't believe. There's some people that are well-placed and well-propagandizing and well-versed on denying that we're in some kind of a martial condition. And on the surface, you know, they're always going to say applause. They are right on the surface if you want to go to a set of definitions that was historic, but we're kind of long since worked the taffy now. But you see, these words are pretty flexible. And so I became flexible decades ago on looking at what am we looking at when you start to move the borders a little bit. Let's stop constraining what we think it is. Stop telling everybody what we think the world is and look at how it works. And then I found what? I told you, I found the Libra Code. It says you got to see what their deeds are. You know them when you see them by what they do, not what they say. And so that kind of formed up. This was decades and decades ago. It formed up how I started looking at all this. not to declare exactly something, but to start looking at what might be. That's led us till today. I could tell you at the 2020, we were looking at a new project. I told you exactly how they would use the similar method they did at 911, that they would interject themselves in similar ways for now, and they would go to a more formidable ability to lock you down, because you're not living in a free place. The state is free, not you, and you're considered a pest animal. And so you better stand up for yourself and be responsible to yourself and have some respect to yourself and learn how to step up before you just walk into a big baseball bat or wall or whatever the heck they have made for you. But the DOJ now comes immediately to seek emergency powers. The DOJ, folks. The Department of Justice. This is the executive branch. You have to understand how this is working. This is the same executive that runs the military. This is the same extension of the military. When that fails, they step up whether or not they have an actual power. The DOJ seeks emergency powers. The move is tapped onto a broader fear among civil liberties advocates and Donald Trump's critics that the president will use a moment of the crisis to push for the controversial policy changes. What if this is a move against the presidency? And I don't want to blow this thing out. I'm saying, what's the possibility and the probability? Well, you're all quarantined up. How's your Second Amendment working for you now? And then you shoot the virus, and it's not the foe. So we've really got to rethink what's going on here. But I don't know what's going on. I'm just seeing lots of stuff going on that ought not go on if you lived in a place that there wasn't oppressors sitting in positions of decision. And still and yet, I say there's ways. Certainly now takes more people to do this as the witness, the mass of people witness, as we see is required if you go through one example of an organic constitution through Virginia. The mass community needs to see this now, as I've been telling you, was coming if we didn't stop, if we didn't somehow stop all this. The DOJ requests would be, are unlikely to make it through the Democratic-led House. Don't count on it. These are, again, politics. These are politicians. We're coming up to a story here. Somebody inside the system is profiting. Office of Profit takes on a whole new idea. I don't know how much I want to read. You can get these articles yourself. The proposal would also grant the top judges broad authority to pause court proceedings during emergencies. It would apply to any statutes and rules of procedures otherwise affecting pre-arrest, post-arrest, pre-trial, trial, and post-trial procedures in criminal and juvenile proceedings and all civil proceedings of process and proceedings. When I said all civil process, that should have rang out in someone who is constitutionally literate to say that's the suspension, in so many words, other words, the suspension of the habeas corpus. And if you read the story, it's the next paragraph, that's what they bring up. And so you got to read these words different than what you think and what they intend to do and how they apply to existing norms, which should have been an organic establishment, which is, we're so far out of it, it's not even a question anymore. That they're putting a press upon taking away what? Your judicial access. We already see that in Washington. I already declared that was the declaration of martial law, at least there, if they hadn't done it by the executive branch. When they suspended your speedy trial right. The DOJ, the prosecutors, the attorneys are coming to try and take away everything. Aha. Hee-hee, ho-ho. In this funny farm. Now, I could read the story. You really got to read this story. You really got to think about this stuff, so I won't read it. I got too much to cover today. It's all showing what I've been saying. It's moving it together. You're watching them. They're piling their cat litter up over the Kitty Roca as we speak. And I hear crickets. I hear lots of people in fear. And realizing they're now in a lockdown condition, notwithstanding all the places that are not yet locked down, and you're so-called free to move about the country, you think. You look at the speed with which something gets locked in as well. And so, we're not responding at all. And again, you look at, see what the exceptions are, start working. All you have is the exceptions now because you don't have the force and effect of the power of the people. You just have you, and you just have your knowledge, and you have a couple tracks of possibility. First, you work within the exceptions about being out and about, and you work within those parameters, and then in the second track, you may actually have a word in your mouth about challenging the standard and learning how to go right through that confrontation, right through the chain of command, if you will, if you please, in this, the chain of command to challenge it on the basis for which it's operating. Because, let's remember, there has to be the abdication of a civil government, and there has to be a lawful order that's issued. Now, and part of me says, none of this is going to listen, no one's listening to this anyway, and it's really not going to come to this level, but it could, and we could out this whole thing quicker. They won't get this incremental step. It won't go away once the coronavirus has its time with people. Okay, so I don't know how much so much thoughts come in my mind. I'm trying to keep on point here. It's all on point. It's just how much to talk about. So we move on. DOJ is now looking already to take away the executive branch, Trump or not, the executive branch power is trying to take all your courts and trying to take away. Washington has already given them up on an interim deference to an agency. This is not a good sign, and nobody's responding is a worse sign. That you recognize you live in lockdown, a prison, and you're in fear is another not good sign. You have to not fear. That, to me, came out, I learned, and well, it's not a fear. I don't even know what to say anymore. It's not a fear. It's a knowledge of a problem. And kind of like in a way, I don't know if it's different between guys and gals. I know through my experience, gals handle this different. Guys kind of kick it into, if you will, whether or not you are, you kick it into a more of a engineering capacity. You function through the tangible. That'll be fine, but you got to do it. You have to have certain tools, and you apply them in certain ways to do the certain outcome, the certain fix to the project problem. And I only know how to speak like through a guy's mentality, if you have perception, or at least more limited how I respond to this. It's not about fear. It's also not about getting up all high and mighty on your right, because these people have come to take them. They don't care about you in so many ways. And yet, there's another problem. They think they're right because they can bring all the plausible things that you've never challenged the underpinning, the foundation for, like I was explaining to you, the judiciary making decisions on a deference, the deference interim guidance of which, if you look at what the CDC uses, has no basis whatsoever. And I'm going to get to that. Let's keep moving. I have lots of stuff here. Exclusive. This was telegraphed ahead of the time. Also of another thing coming down on this so-called coronavirus problem. Exclusive. Inside the military's top secret plan in coronavirus cripples, if the coronavirus cripples the government. Well, you're not going to go inside that plan, first of all. They kept us out of that. This happens to be that concept of the continuity of government. They've had this for like ever. But it became more prevalent after the 90s and certainly during the time of the 911. And now you see this corona faux can threaten the people in the offices. This invisible boogie virus, can threaten now the government. They've had this in place. I told you they were going to bring all this stuff out and see how much farther they can go down the road with it. Well, now they seed the news cycle that there's an exclusive secret plan. It's not secret. They're just not going to tell you the details. And there's reasons for that if you just sit, but you do have to have reasons for this. This is national security. However, they've turned the national security on you and me. I've been discussing all that since 9/11, September 11th, if you will. That even as President Trump says he's tested negative for coronavirus, the COVID-19 pandemic raises the fear. The used swaths of the executive branch or even Congress and the Supreme Court could be disabled, forcing the implementation of continuity of government plans that include evacuating Washington and devolving leadership to second-tier officials in remote and quarantine locations. Now, they're bringing this out and dropping a seed, but remember, again, don't fear. Look at what all the potentials. They have lots to work from before it goes here, but this is what they're telling you. How about that? Now it's come. Remember, I told you about there was chloroquine, right? Weeks and weeks ago, I told you that there's a thing out there that they're kind of ignoring. It's cheap. You don't think that they can try this behind the scenes? You don't think they already are? And so this is for your consumption. I don't think anything happens here at this point. I don't. Unless this is a coup, and this, I don't want to get too wild here. If this is an offside shot at the organized government, I don't know. This is the kind of talk that we saw in the 80s. That didn't materialize. But it's a possibility. It sits there. It's very important, if that's what's going on, that Trump not have this, or at least profess he doesn't have it. And if he's taking chloroquine to stop this and any other antivirals, if they work, to keep him from going down, the coup doesn't have a cause. And so I don't know what I'm really looking at. I told you, I don't know really what we're looking at. But I know that the people are crickets. And I know that it has no basis to be where it's at, and yet we're seeing where it's at. And it works just on the same methods and models I've seen in the past that I've identified to you in every other area. It's in the worst place that we could fight it, but it's not a fight we can not enter, or that we would lose if we entered into it correctly, unless there's no witnesses, and you see what happens when there's no witnesses to a criminal. And that's why you have to stick together on this with one thought. But anyway, so the continuity of government pops up. They planted the seed. Then today, just as I'm going to the broadcast, general who would command the U.S. if coronavirus cripples the government comes right up front. And they're naming the guy. Who's it going to be? This is all not secret how this works. But now they're planning it out like they want to. There's a couple things going on here. They want to tell you we have this under control. But remember, it's a military control. And remember that the judicial branch has given in already. I've told you that we don't have a government. When the executive branch went to executive expedience and they stated that in that murder memo, I told you it's essentially over relative to established government. And now the controllers are putting things in front to make it, again, the spaghetti western, make you agree to that, even though they slapped you in the chops with the gauntlet at 911. So they're telling you that they're ready to go, so they want to bring confidence. But let me remind you as well, in my view, that is, I can't disprove, we've been in civil war, continuing. I've gone through all this in the records. I've gone through this in the so-called the promulgation that was supposed to end the war and doesn't. If you read it, you just have to read it. It continues it and incorporates the federal authority within the states. They're no longer sovereign at that point. That this is an extension, really making it more obvious what we've been under. For me, it's not fear. It's reality coming to y'all. And I'm, in a way, I'm kind of happy to see it. I'm hoping, really, we step up into this responsibility to bring sense back to it, to oust all these people that are giving in to essentially a fraud at the point of its utility. I'm talking about the virus. How does a virus take down Congress? It's only temporary. It doesn't kill anybody. They have succession if there's an incapacity. The type of incapacity this would bring them, well, unless you're going to die, which is probably someone over 80 with bad health, first of all, and maybe only, if you will, and there has been some younger people dying, but why is doctors dying if there, it tells you also, maybe their health is, maybe they should put a disclaimer on the information they give you about health. Maybe they don't promote health. There's a lot to look at inside all that, which I don't want to quite get too far into today, at least for now, to point out there's lots of alternatives they're not taking. When they don't take an alternative, that's the silence I tell you to look at that you can bring up. Why didn't you take that? It may be only a non-question question, but it is obstruction against the dictatorship that looks like it has power. Like in this case, the military, a general. We're already in martial law, whether you recognize it or not. The military authority that runs the place said, put a civil face on this pig. This is the lipstick on this pig. And they did this in the Civil War. And they've held it together this long. And they want more. And so that's disagree. You've got to do the research. You can come to you. I'm not telling you anything. You come to your own decisions, but make sure you, when you're doing the research, it's the right stuff and you're putting it together. Don't limit what you read by your observation of reality, because you have to throw that down and reorganize and re-bring in information and reassemble it before this starts to make sense this way. Now, they're teasing this out. They're bringing it out. They're saying this could happen. Now, the military has been right there. Now they're making a little bit of harvest. But the question is, this really martial law? Well, there's some people that are well followed and well, they're on TV. In fact, one of this guy here is on TV. They don't think it's martial law. And I can do the very basic surface analysis to tell you, yeah, in the streets, in the cities, you don't see the military, obviously, do you? You really don't see the military as we would understand it. But that doesn't mean that's a false front that's controlled by a military already. And the military is already under executive expedience. That takes a little bit different look. That takes about not limiting so you can myopically look at something, but actually look. If I'm dealing with since I am dealing with an occupier, they can lie to me. You think Smith Munt was anything? No, they were lying to you before. That just made it official. Now, you can't just say, oh, they're lying to me. No, that means something. It means it's a more bigger responsibility on you, just not something you toss down. It's an analysis has to be made in earnest on reassessing what you're looking at and reassessing your place within that. And really, at that point, there's no place for fear either, because if you agree that you can be locked down, there's no fear. If you agree that they shouldn't be, then it's not a fear, it's a response. But I call it evolutionary engagement to engage the occupier. And so there's not really there's no time for fear here. You either agree to it or you don't. And this is a serious kind of a matter, but so it came out. I mean, I can't follow some people. I have to see people that I follow. Twitter's not real good for me. So I notice not lots of people respond to me, so I don't know if I'm being shadow banned. I mean, terribly shadow banned. But at any rate, the gentleman that we know of, we've heard, I'm sure, I've heard of him on RT. He's on television too. And this becomes another common denominator of problem. Just to say, RT, I remember, what was it, Max Kaiser? Long years ago, I asked him, he made some statements, I asked him some questions, he blocked me. Then I started listening to him again because I wanted to see why would he block a question that was relevant to proofing out what he was saying. And I realized he didn't want to proof out what he was saying. It doesn't mean there wasn't a proof, it just means that he really wasn't going to be committed to what he's telling people, and that what I was asking was really would expose if he didn't have an answer. I deemed him to be a clown at that point relative to what he says, but he's popular, and he's on television. And then another guy pops up, and I listen to everybody. I put everybody on 100%. I agree. I mean, not with your opinion, but I agree that, you know, you have the right to say stuff. You're probably true to what you're saying. You don't mean people harm. You don't mean to dissuade any, to give people bad advice and all. And I'll let people stay there for a long time until they start to show me over time that maybe that's not the case. Well, something just popped up here this week. You understand my study. You understand that I have a proof for what I consider this military occupation. There's lots of other possibilities and probabilities. It depends on the facts that you want to bring forward. I'm pretty generous with any kind of a view as I qualify everybody's perspective and see if there's anything for me with that, and maybe adjusting what I understand versus what I've studied on, done the searching down, reconfigured what I see. When you finally see folks, when you lose the trust, you have to build it again, and you build a certain trust. The government's obligation and those in the public sphere are to maintain the trust. And as soon as there's the appearance, the standard, folks, is the appearance of impropriety, that triggers the problem. And so coming through my search, I have built a whole bunch of facts in law, black and white. Again, I'm not trying to lie to myself. I'm trying to figure this thing out. It stopped making sense years ago. But what is this thing? Like, I'm asking, what's this coronavirus really? What is this thing? And so, Lionel. He wrote up something that I happen to see through Tragedy and Hope. Two people I put on a pretty high level at this, well, fairly high enough. I listen to what they say. They have something to say. Well, Lionel pops up. It becomes glaringly obvious to me that there appears to be no one in the continental United States who understands what martial law is. And, you know, what I've been telling you over years, I had to look at that. And this is a guy that's well followed and all that. And guess what? I find out he's an attorney. Used to be an old prosecutor. Okay. Interesting. But I'm not going to dissuade, his statement's not going to then correct me. I'm going to have to go to task with this a bit to find out. He says nobody knows about martial law. That eliminates him, doesn't it? And so what's the comment? But I believe with my trust study, I know a bit about martial law. It's not that I know it. I'm taking the lead of people who did know it and wrote law about it. And that should, you know, I put a code, general order, just like the court issued, a general order on the bottom of my webpage all the time. And you know, I've read that code to you over the year. It took many broadcasts to do this. I wanted to make sure everyone heard the words, if nothing else. And it's right in that code what you can look at. It's actually law now, and it's international law. I'm going to bring up another case I've told you about. But he says there's no martial law. Nobody in the continental United States knows what it is. So I respond to him, and I'm looking for an answer for these guys because maybe he's got an insight I don't have. Nobody, I say? Darn. And I was thinking recently, what other guy I've heard of who might? I wonder if Lionel knows about martial law to amplify upon its nuances where it doesn't have to be declared, civil liberties are suspended, and cops execute people upon safety excuse. Dang. Now what? Now, I want to use this as a little bit of a method here. I have nothing against Lionel or anything people say. Actually, they can have all the opinion they want, but when they're out there promoting there's no martial law, when I just now in my answer listed three things that declare it, not by my opinion, but by the code and international law, I think I've pretty well given you all a way to approach all that we're seeing. And I've said, when you go to the state like what we've done before, I don't call things treason. I use the long definition form, making war on the United States, on the laws of the United States, because there's people that will vilify you for using it in certain words. There's a method of the approach. But I'm not bought that anybody here, nobody in the continental United States knows about martial law. Are you kidding me? I can tell you that general knows about it. And this is not unknowable stuff, so, well, darn, folks, what are we going to do now? And I'm suggesting the reverse, that we all have the capacity to see and understand this, and I'm suggesting that because when you see what Libra Code says, you can then expand what you think is supposed to be done by someone who wants to occupy you. Their decisions are not based on your perception. And people better get that figured out. This is why you see the problems between the Democrats and the Republicans as well. They're all occupiers in my mind. I say that with a little bit of experience having a default judgment where they admitted they're committing treason through processes that make you look like you're a pest animal. You're the cause. You're the problem. You really don't have any rights, and they're not looking to any organic authority. Right, so it's not something to fear here. This is a reality-based view. And so, do you think I got an answer to my question? Do you think he came back and said, well, your guidance is wrong? Do you think he identified what I was talking about in a short words like I tried to pose to him? Do you think the guy that retweeted his tweet, do you think that I got any response whatsoever? Do you think that they said, oh, this guy's so far out, I'm not going to waste my breath? Yeah, he could have said that. That would have made it worse if I actually find that out. But no, I didn't get a response to three elements that are going on that constitute martial law. Impliedly, I'm saying I understand martial law. I'll tell you right up front, I don't know martial law more than I see the elements. I've never lived through it as far as an obviousness. It's not people want to refer to, well, I know what martial law is, and they give us the experience, and you see, yeah, that's the experience. And we're not quite there. But I've told you, they understand how to deal with you. When there's an occupying force, they don't want the inhabitants to figure it out. They want to put up something that makes you believe everything is cool and rosy. Not Rosie Greer, for those of you that remember that guy. No, Rosie. As in rose-colored glasses. That's what they want to make sure you keep wearing. So, let me offer you something about this international law. I mentioned Libra Code. It's international law. You can go, I didn't get the link for this, but you can go read that it became the Hague Convention of, 1899 or something, and then again in 1907. You can go read about it. It's made law, this General Law 100. But before we get to General Law 100, we have to be able to enforce that. And I want to remind you of this case I talked to you about a long time ago, Kansas versus Colorado, in 1907. And I just want to bring up a couple points about it, because it shows you what really becomes important when you're looking at interpreting what law would be and what would be relevant in law, whether or not a court has abdicated its jurisdiction, as you hear the Washington federal courts do, and the Supreme Court didn't step in to stop it. This case starts out at a question. It's in the middle of the case somewhere. It doesn't start out this way. It asks, this is at the page 206 down to around 96. For anybody like sound minds that's keeping track here, and thank you for bringing those up as you can. But what is common law? And this is not even the point I want to start to, because I want to get to the point down where they talk about force. The common law includes, and I want to, okay, so here's all these words that pop up. And this is what you think, when I'm doing searching, it's like you have to remember all these things, like terms, and where they are, and when they're talked about. And you're going to hear the word usages, and you've got to keep track on that, because I'm going to jump you over to Libra Code, show you it's done in there. And this becomes the common law as well. What's recognized. And I'm trying to bring to you, to counter the people that say there's no martial law, a way for you to at least pull them in a bag of law, all the things that you can do to show that, no, be pretty clear that this is a martial law, whatever name they call it. And recognize, too, isolation's not quarantine. And isolation is self-isolation. That's consent. And when they have a plausible reason to tell that to you, you have to have the better reason why you don't have to. And they've given you some outs, like you see the necessity thing. Why isn't accessing your rights one of the necessities? Why isn't living free one of your necessities? It's something you have to expand your brain about and think about before you just blurt out how you're going to support a position on something that you go to that they're going to deny you on, and how you're going to go up the chain of command when they do that. But what is common law? The answer in this case, and it's not definitive in my mind at all, so let's not get everyone all fired up, because I see that going on in lots of places. You want to say, I didn't talk about this or that, or it's this. I'm telling you, this is a lineage of how I'm going through this. There's other things that can be brought to bear for other discussions. I only have a few minutes. I've got to go through this direction and to build the case, if you will, the elements of why I'm coming to the determinations I do, so that you can see how it's done if you don't have an idea for yourself. And because it's relevant right now, this is something that may be coming down. In fact, I'm looking at some of this as they're going to be in my my list of thoughts or on the list of notes I have. If I ever going to go out and they get a lot more locked down, I'm going to have a lot of this stuff available. Whether that helps me or not, I don't know, but I'm going to have it. The common law, and I'm not going to have this. I'm going to have what this tells me in my mind, that I know I can come here and learn how this was done, at least for 1907. And I'll tell you, the principle goes on through today, even if no one will listen to it. And this is what you have to be confident in and have trust in yourself, that the failure of someone who has authority to trust it, to agree to that and trust it, is the obvious self-evident proof that they aren't following their oath, that they're not following an established order, and they're not even under military law in that regard. They're actually war criminals. But whether you want to tell someone with a gun that, I don't know. I would softly tell them that and say, I need to speak to a superior, because I don't think you understand. You're not following a lawful order, and I need to challenge that. I am the civil authority that you've disregarded. Now, that's a big statement to make, but you got to know it. Is it going to help you? You're in an occupied territory. You figure it out. That's going to be who you are. Some people do, and some people don't. Coronavirus, some people get it, and some people don't. Some people have symptoms, and some people don't. The healthy people, they pass through. The common law includes those principles, usages, and rules of action applicable to government and security of persons and property, which do not rest for their authority upon the express and positive declarations of the will of the legislature. Close quote. I need to interject. When you place your personal security and your property security against what they're trying to do, you now interfere with that. And notice what they said there, what I told you about the Virginia Constitution, that the legislature was subject to its establishment. The creature does not rule the posterity. the trustee sitting in the judiciary was a trustee to the people, the posterity, not the establishment. You see it right here if you know how to read through this stuff. This is really settled law, settled principle. Okay, so now going back, they use the word usages. I want you to keep track of that because I'm going to go to the Liber Code and read a couple of those just to remind you, show you how this is all tied together. As it does not rest on any statutes, common law does not rest on any statute or other written declaration of the sovereign, there must be, as to each principle thereof, be a first statement. Those statements are found in decisions of courts, and the first statement principle presents the principle. The first statement presents the principle as certainly as the last. The multiplication of declarations merely adds certainty. For after all, the common law is but the accumulated expressions of the various judicial tribunals in their efforts to ascertain what is right and just between individuals in respect of private disputes. As Congress cannot make compacts between states, as it cannot, in respect of certain matters, by legislation compel their separate action, disputes between them must be settled either by force or else by appeals to tribunals empowered to determine the right or wrong thereof. Force, under our system of government, is eliminated. I'll go on a little bit more, but that's the point I want to remind you, because then I want to ask a question here in a second. The clear language of the Constitution vests in the court the power to settle those disputes. We have exercised, this is the Supreme Court of the United States now, we have exercised that power in a variety of instances, determining in the several instances, the justice of the dispute. Nor is our jurisdiction ousted, even if, because Kansas and Colorado are states sovereign and independent in local matters, the relations between them in any respect upon principles of international law is no alien to this tribunal. International law is part of our law and must be ascertained and administered by the courts of justice of appropriate jurisdiction as often as questions of right depending upon it and are duly presented for their determination. And I think I'll end there. It goes on to a whole lot more information. It's important to understand, but I want to go back. Understand the people are supposed to be sovereign here, and they're silent. They talk about the sovereign here above, and they're talking about both the establishment of the sovereign of the state and the sovereign who made it. That they say force under our system as government is eliminated. What did I tell you when the court abdicated its ability to hear cases? Did it have the right to abdicate that power? I would argue, if it's an argument, no. Because under our system, that keeps us from have force brought to bear. Where the courts don't exist, what by definition, then, by this decision, what does that mean you can expect? But force as a response to stop what you see. And I suggest, to have in your bullet point, that was not to any of the civil officers to allow, whether they be executive, legislative, or judicial. And what I'm telling you is not an argument. I'm having points of foundation from which to attack the foundation that they believe has really been admitted to be only presumptive. I'm not talking to you about coronavirus, about martial law and all this, except to explain a bit of it, but how you're going to respond to it and finding the places that you can print out in short form, highlight, to be able to give you and think about, at least before you start implementing it, the bullet points of how you interfere with what they're bringing on. And if more of us would do this and more often, they're going to realize the natives are restless and they know the power and they know where its limits are and they know that they're not subject and they'll understand why you're in isolation and not quarantine and what that means and how far the extent goes and why they had to go to allow you to roam about the country on the excuses. Let me read you now to the Liber Code. Why do I read that? Because this has been made international law. The courts are always looking at international law. And the only thing I can see is that the military only goes on when the civil power is abdicated. I'm not going to relinquish, as a people, forget your established government as a people. I'm not going to relinquish that as the civil power. Where do I get a little bit of that? Mining districts were a lawful, constitutionally observed government that was civil and local. We already have this in us as people. Miners did it as a natural law of their response to the condition. Remember, miners were outlaws to the federal government until the law had to look at the fact of their outlawry and embrace that and bring them in. And then they bring them in through, if you will, regulation, which was really, here's some things you need to do in order for you to claim the land, and we get off your back. And getting back to the point of the international law is a Lieber Code. I'm talking from the General Order 100, originally from 1863 by Francis Lieber. Article 1, and here's the point about martial law and whether or not people want to see a military or not. And then we get into what military might be. And then I bring up the idea to you that the military can order that there's a false front on themselves so that you don't see them. They can put up a civil order that isn't actually civil. And how do we know that? We know that if we looked at the Civil War, while not ending, though people would say they were, I'm sure, well, I don't want to, I won't say what I was going to say. Some people might say that it was ended. When you look at the actual words, it wasn't. The federal agents are brought into the state and they're doing federal law. You're consistent with federal law. They've hidden it underneath the Supremacy Clause. That's been a lie. When they attacked producers underneath that provision, you knew that was a lie. I did, not about you, I don't know about all y'all, but I did. That's how one of the clues are. You got to look through what you think that you're seeing. And you always maintain a foundation of establishment that had a natural progression, not what we're seeing as the unnatural excuse. Martial law, military jurisdiction, military necessity, retaliation was the heading under Section 1. A place, district, or country occupied by an enemy stands in consequence of the occupation under martial law or the invading or occupying army, whether any proclamation declaring the martial law or any public warning to the inhabitants has been issued or not. Martial law is the immediate and direct consequence of occupation or conquest. The presence of a hostile army proclaims its martial law. So they don't have to tell you that it's martial law. They just start doing things. One of the things that they do is they take away and limit your civil rights. Let me go to Article 2. Martial law does not cease during the hostile occupation except by special proclamation, ordered by the commander-in-chief, or by special mention in a treaty of peace concluding the war, when the occupation of the place or territory continues beyond the conclusion of the peace. Doesn't seem to me to be have been declared as I keep looking. I'm looking back through this. You'll claim that President Johnson made a declaration. He didn't. If you go read the law, read that proclamation. Martial law is simply military authority exercised in accordance with the laws and usages of war. There it is. The Supreme Court recognizes usages. This is the usages of war. It's international law. They recognize international law. But very hard for me to say that this document wouldn't be active consideration at this point, notwithstanding the statements of others highly regarded to the contrary. Now, I don't want to. I've already read all this. There's lots to read here, but I don't want to get to it. Let's get to the military thing. What is the army? And I'm just going to go a couple spots here. Wiki. It says arms and weapons. Arm E. Pretty simple, right? A land force, a ground force, is a fighting force that fights primarily on land. So it can fight. Within a national military force, the word army may also be a field army. They're delineating the military, but it's a force. And let me go in and say, now we'll run down through a little bit of this just to point out something that they were talking about by convention. Now, convention is an interesting word. That's also in international law. This is, again, the usages, okay? Irregular military is usually understood in contrast to regular armies, which grew solely from personal bodyguards or elite militia. Irregular military. So the people, in a combined effort, Like we see, the militia is considered a regular military. Well, y'all aren't just people no more now, right? You're deemed to be a military. So when you see these conceptual things that I'm talking about, they work and form in usages and conventions. Regular is, in this case, refers to standardized doctrines, uniforms, organizations, etc. So there's the irregular military can also be whatever can be formed by standardized doctrines, uniform, and organizations. It's very important to understand what the word regular means. Let me offer you now, well, let's move to more. Army, underneath now the Merriam-Webster's, a large organized body of armed personnel trained for war, especially on land. Are your militias really trained for a war? By definition, I would say they are, but that's not what I'm talking about. I just want to point out, don't disregard you, the man or woman sitting here as well, but I'm talking about whether or not we have this military, what we can, does their deeds, how they've constructed this thing for our view, does it, could it be deemed to constitute a military? We tend to believe you have to go to some place and go kill a bunch of people. We don't have appreciation for what an occupation might be and what a military force would be constituted from. B, a unit capable of independent action and consisting usually of headquarters and two or more corps and auxiliary troops. So by convention and usually, okay, the usages, usually, not always. So that start when I started seeing these conditional words, I started saying, oh, okay, so that's usually, but what about the unusual state, the unusual condition? And I'm asking you to think that way because that's what started to open up what I started to interpret pretty quickly. I started to realize that's the silence when you don't see, you don't talk about the unusual one, but think about it. It'll open up a whole other thing. This is where we're going. The unusual activity. If it's capitalized, the complete word army, the complete military organization of the nation for law or war. So if you don't capitalize it, it means some other kind of military. Maybe the irregular, maybe those of the people, maybe those that have established themselves under the power to do so in the establishment of the law enforcement. A great multitude. Number three, a body of persons organized to advance a cause. Now, I want you to just think, what could that cause? Don't limit the cause. It could be just what you're seeing. Let me go on to another one. The military force of a nation exclusive of the Navy. A unit consisting typically of two or more corps and a headquarters. Again, we have this organization we're looking at, and I'll bring up to you in a second when we get to the locals. A large body of persons trained and armed for war. Any body of persons organized for a purpose. What purpose? Any purpose. A large number or group of something. So moving us into what is an army? Somebody with arms. Not the ones that you can bear for the sun and the vitamin D you need now. No, the bare arms. Those firearms now, their side. And they talked about, in that definition, they talked about a corps. More corps. What's a corps? Let me go down through now in the free dictionary link. A body of men assigned to a special service, usually military, a number of students, members of an organization who wear uniforms as St. John Ambulance Corps. So, any purpose, usually using uniforms that are in organizations and regular, okay? Even though they're irregular. And then we heard this. Trump invokes wartime authority of Defense Production Act to speed coronavirus aid. What are all these people going to do against that, actually? What are they going to do against the coronavirus itself? So if we didn't think about the fact of invoking the military, we've heard today that's all that they've been doing. And I told you they were doing that. I've suggested that from the beginning, at least, well, from a long time, but particularly about Operation Hindsight 2020. Would you step up or would they? And they're still got the momentum. They're still coming down the field. So when we have a body of characters together on an assigned special service, they serve the public, right, these cops? In uniforms, they use military time, they have divisions, even as you'll see some of the Army has corps and divisions. They have divisions like traffic division or similar to patrol division or detectives division. They're established and organized regular in a military structure. We see irregular can be military. They're not the land military. So it is not a big jump for me now. I see this if I needed to do more here for, I'm just trying to show you, to say that the cops are the military, as I've suggested to you over and over again. And they've come to the day, as I said in my tweet to Lionel in Tragedy and Hope. I think his name's Richard. I don't know. I don't keep track. The cops will shoot you without due process. They wear uniforms. They'll shoot you without due process, without a chance, when they are afraid for their lives. And where do I get that? From the Lieber Code. And I don't remember which article that is. Go read down far enough, you'll see where it's to protect them. And so I don't know that it's quite the big jump to say that when the cops are protecting you away from or keeping you from doing your free life, that we're in a constrained, suspended civil liberty. It's not a big jump to go into the fact of your martial law status by the usages of war and the definition laid out in international law through the Lieber Code. Now, any of you could have a different opinion. You can have a different proof. I certainly have told you I'd like to hear some of this. I don't like to hear a lot of the nonsense out there that's been disproven. Let's see the black and white, nice short statements and bullet points. I don't believe, after looking at this for 3 decades at least, that we can constrain military to be the military, as you see the military, when it's occupying your country. Because it can do whatever it does to keep itself secure and out of sight. Trump invokes the Defense Production Act. Serious stuff coming down, folks. We've heard many things and talks about these executive orders where the president was a dictator. And it's not like we haven't seen this. We did it in the 50s. They kicked all the miners off of their gold claims and put them on the copper processing. And the Supreme Court was okay with that. They said, well, we're not taking your property. We're just making you go do what we need for the nation because you don't have any rights when there's a necessity like this. And I've looked at all that, and it may have been, some of it may have been right, but I saw a lot of it that was fraudulent. It's the same method of destruction that they put people through. And so generation after generation, you agree with it, to the point that Trump is invoking a Defense Production Act. Was there a need? I don't really know. I guess you could pretend there's one. They've been able to hide a military occupation on you. But why not just go ahead and bring this out? You've been under war power since 1917, and that's never released itself. How do I know that? Go look at United States Code 1295A. Go look at the footnotes on that one. Go read the back end of that 1295A. That goes over to Title 52, don't you know, your War Department. So he invokes the wartime authority. But right before that, a story that I don't understand how it doesn't go farther. Senator Kelly Loeffler dumped millions in stock after coronavirus briefing. So now we start to understand there's a little thing, more things going on. People are taking action on inside information that they get. She has apparently enough money to be in the stock market. This plunderous exploitation system, the speculation system, it's as puffed up as you can get. It's like a coronavirus to me. It's a thing that's out there that moves that people believe in. But it's not actually real, but it can affect your life. At any rate, a senator with inside information through her Office of Profit dumps this stock ahead of the collapse of these things that are going on. And I don't know why this is not a bigger story, that we see inside knowledge going on, if nothing else, that's not actually being told to us. We see the actions are taken with knowledge that we aren't given ahead of time, for whatever reason, good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, they do want to keep the panic down. They noticed how you guys responded for toilet paper, but you did that yourself. I'm not happy with it, but that's what went on. And they're responding to that. But what goes on now is the declaration of a military emergency It's now invoking, I tell you, go step by step, it invokes all the production that puts the president or whomever is in control at this point, which they kind of highlighting now, seeding the air that the general is going to be involved in this. But they put this declaration out, and then they start to say, give power over to the declarations of local states. Remember I told you that had to happen as well. The president comes out. It's recognized that this the press conference, which I guess he's been on, I don't even notice, been some, I can see the complaints he's on all the time now, this guy, the reality game show host on television. He must be loving it. But he's ordering certain things to happen, and John Rappaport picks this up, and he highlights the fact that this is a palace coup, that the orders are coming down to utilize the coronavirus as an agent of change, if you will, under military authority. He doesn't say this, I'm interjecting because that's what it come, and my response to his palace coup was, the orders coming down, or the statements coming down, it wasn't even orders, they're just suggestions to you if you see this. I asked John, which he doesn't respond either, but is that an order? Is what they say an order? Why? I want to know what the lawful order, and if there's no lawful order, that's my first bullet point on how I'm going to address this. What you're going to recognize here, real careful, if you're careful to listen, it's all a very strong suggestion. And it's presumptive. And I'm telling you, I've been telling you for years, when you see that condition, you are obligated to step up and refute the condition with your position. And I've suggested to you the stronger position than arguing with them is to destroy what they think is their foundation or what they were presenting, promoting, propagandizing as their position, as we were exposed through Smith Mundt. That no, we can no longer trust, folks. I don't know why don't people. You can't trust in the government. Why is this a question? That we don't have now a self-evident right to question right up front, and that diminishes, if not destroys, any authority that they bring. Now, some of you may be enjoying the time off. I think it's kind of fun. I think some people are enjoying the time off. It's a break in the monotony. That's going to wear off quick. But the point is I think the coronavirus gives us an interesting dynamic. I think some people will find some information. I don't mean the stuff I talk about. I mean in their lives. Other things will reorganize. I think it's better. I hope some people will take in what kind of things I say or get interested in this type of things I point out. That we're not helpless. The stuff that's been run down on us that causes us to be here, this is a timeout. They're treating you like kids. Go ahead and take it, but do it for, if you will, a grown-up purpose or responsibility. Focus in on what we really need to be doing now. Take the time to do that. Enjoy this time for a little bit. Don't be fearful. Understand this is the condition that we're in, and I'm giving suggestions on how we start to move this forward. We're going to need more of us to do so. But I ask, is that an order? Now, I didn't get an answer to all this, but I know it's not an order. I don't really ask questions, folks. Because I'm saying something here. I'm telling people, you're looking for the lawful order. Is that an order? And then I ask this, in faced with a war, and if you're in a war, if you've ever been a soldier, did you ever have to get to stop if you had the flu, if you could still do something? I'm talking big time war, you're in it. You're being shot at. You get the flu or you get the sick or you get some rot on your foot or something. Do you get to stop? So that's my question here. Do people stop fighting war because of flu or bioweapon agent? Because I'm looking at this thing, you want to start promoting a lot of this as a power. We have the obligation as people to start questioning that immediately. Is that an order? And do we take this excuse to make us stop fighting the war of the military that's coming through the military power right now in our face? People don't understand. They think that the Second Amendment only gives them the right to fight. No, you have ways to fight that you should be fighting before that. Would a flu stop your defending yourself from an invader? Is my question here. Would people stop fighting because they have the flu? Did people stop fighting in the First World War when they got hit with mustard gas? Well, the ones that got hit died. The other ones didn't stop. No, you pressed harder. I ask, anyone else think asserting a remedy against occupation by unsubstantiated presumptive police power is necessity enough as food or pharma to alter or abolish it? Or crickets? Flu coup, free or fear? Do we have the power to bring into us, or we can only travel when there's necessity, to say, the power we have to maintain the establishment of peaceful life and normal life is a necessity, and I'm going to be traveling to go to the agents that are altering this without lawful authority? Am I going to look at my rights as a necessity that I've got to enforce to travel to go defend myself? Or do we believe we're hopeless and helpless because of the boogie virus? I want to know the lawful order. And it's not just an order. That now produces now, do they have the jurisdiction? Do they actually have the cause? Do they actually have the police power to tell you to shelter in place? What is that? No one even understands it. That actually means you don't move any further from wherever you are. You hunker down. Do they have the power to tell you that? But this is where San Francisco went before it went to the states in big time. Remember, they started, I told you, they were going to go from China, they hit Washington, they were jumping across the country. Interestingly, they went to Italy, which is even a different problem. If you look closely, you'll see that. That they now comes back to San Francisco, and they're getting the metropolitan areas to be locked down. They're shelter, they called it shelter in place, but the term was locked down. That's a prison, folks. Because of what? Some objective invader? No. A coronavirus panic. How you responded, the government said, we can't keep up with this nonsense, this disobedience, this unstructured chaos. People can't contain themselves. We're going to have to do it for you. That's what this is. But they did it. And so everyone starts to say, oh, they start rocking in their chairs and twiddling their thumbs or whatever the heck people start doing around this thing. And it was predictable. I suggested to you strongly to be prepared for it. And then I said, hopefully take the time and start to look on how you can challenge every bit of it. Be the people that sticks the spokes into this thing. Well, San Francisco did. That didn't last long before the whole state kicks in, and the state immediately deploys the National Guard. And they claim it's under the benefits of helping the food banks statewide during the coronavirus crisis. Well, we still haven't defined that either, the crisis. First, it's the panic that San Francisco responds to. You unruly kids running all over the place, fighting over toilet paper. And now the state steps up and says, we're going to now throw the National Guard, but we're going to show, this is the method. I mean, we're going to do it for a beneficial purpose. And I agree, they need to be, they're there, they're being paid anyway. Why not help the people that need food? Again, even in the fabricated condition. Remember, they still allow you to move out for necessity things. What is your necessities? Do you think they include your right to maintain your civil government? Do you think they maintain your right to present a defect in their reasons? To find and have declared the limits? To move it from a general order back into a specific quarantine condition? Do you have any thoughts that that's as necessitous as eating? That's up for each one of you to decide. I think I can raise necessity into beyond food and medicine. They want to send you to the pharma to do the same harma to you that keeps you there? Are you kidding me? This is their answer? But coronavirus governor deploys state and California National Guard. So they want to bring out, and they're going to bring out for the beneficial use to help the starving people now. You understand there's now a demand because no one can actually get to places, even though this is not a country where there's want, actually. And then the next thing pops out. It's like, I don't know how else you can come up that this is the plan. Police in California plan to use drones to enforce quarantine lockdown. Well, that's a little more ominous. That's a quarantine lockdown, not an isolation. Where'd they get the quarantine power? On a case-by-case basis. But they're going to use those drones that we've been talking about. Remember the ones we talked about, like South Dakota militarized, put guns on them years ago? Oh, they don't even have cameras and loudspeakers. They're complaining, but now they have the impetus to do this for the drones. If they didn't have the cameras in place, they're not going to have eyes in the skies flying all over the place to come and question you. And for those of you that are figuring it out, you'll have an answer for them. You'll have a little bag of law. For those of you that don't, you'll fret and fidget with your twiddle your thumbs or whatever until they come and hand you the box of food you need. Now, so these National Guard are put out. And then I find this story, which is interesting. I said that escalated quick. The National Guard announced Friday it was deploying 1,000 troops across 6 states by the end of the day as part of the national response to coronavirus. National response, okay? So this is the level of military intervention already. A statement said that on Friday, 400 Air and Army National Guard personnel were present in 6 states, and then they named them. The National Guard Bureau serves the national coordinating agency in the state. If a state needs assistance from the National Guard, they're present in another state. This is mutual assistance. 1,000 people. And then I see this story. The next story is that more than 6,500 National Guard members are aiding in the coronavirus response in 38 states. That escalated quick. A couple days, folks. You don't think that's planned? You think they're mobilizing these forces when they got to, oh, we can't go fight somewhere until we take 2 months to prepare? They're already moving people. Oh, but the big threat, the numbers of the coronavirus affected people can change. I don't know what these National Guard are going to do to stop that. Do you think they themselves might get affected? What a silly question. Of course they will. When the Guard members have been deployed to the site of camouflaged troops and military vehicles have prompted false rumors of martial law and military enforced quarantine, so says the New York Times. I think I fairly well showed you how we can see when your civil order, your civil establishment's gone, your civil liberties are impugned, then you don't have a civil government. It is martial law. And the executive starts to order what's going on, and it starts to get implemented by the military. They come to help you, they say. Now 65 went from 1,000 to 6,500 in a couple of days. Here, now they're going to dispel this idea of martial law. It's not in the people that are showing up now there, folks, for this. It's already in place. Don't forget that. No, don't just say that. Go prove it to yourself so then you can say it. And you don't have to tell people and prove it to everybody. It's something you hold inside you as a knowledge. Now comes the experience of whether or not you have the experience to have to use it. That's the test. Okay, so we keep going on. But governors on this... They say they're just helping out right now, but then it says here, but governors have wide leeway to use their state or territories, guard members, as they see fit, and they can be used to assist with policing if they were ordered to do so. You heard of military police, folks? Anything the law enforcement capacity normally does, they could be augmented with National Guard, says General Joseph Langell, the chief of the National Guard Bureau. Asked specifically if they could be used to enforce curfews, General Langell did not rule it out, saying governors are able to use the Guard members as they see fit. That sounds like someone who reigns over others, folks. No control. So the military power exists already, absent any civil liberties. I don't know how anybody can actually look at this and say you're not under a martial law authority. And I want to point out here, that martial law authority is absent any moral compass. It's absent any empathy, any care, any really want to help you. They're not here to help you. They come under the benefits to give help to the food place, but they didn't stop that from happening, so you didn't have to go there. And so we see here a little at the same time, a little what to expect from the government when they don't care. And maybe, just maybe, if they're trying to keep control of some other emotion in the people, might you get an apology, but you're not there to receive it. China apologizes to the wife of whistleblower doctor who died after contracting coronavirus. 6 weeks after the death of Dr. Li Wenliang, the Chinese doctor who tried to raise the alarm about the new coronavirus before it was identified, Wuhan police have withdrawn their charges and apologized to his family. They beat down on this guy, threatened him, and did all kinds of things. This, to me, is no different than the military. In fact, they called the military out there. Remember, I called your attention to it. They called them out immediately. This is the same thing here. But they went there, and they beat this guy down legally and threatened him and all that, and threatened his family and everything, and he was the guy that was, he was trying to tell people of what the problem is. I want to show you how badly government responds to things. They're not there to help you. They're there on an agenda. If they weren't there on an agenda, this guy would have been, the hero, and I'm not going to get too wrapped up in all that about what it is he's trying to do here. But they had a different plan for this guy. They don't care. They will harm you first, and if you're lucky, they will apologize to your family later. Is a warning, a cautionary note to us on what we're dealing with. And why I say don't lead with your chin on this, but get prepared and be ready to have, and come through channels, if you will, to lines of communication that don't bring you into jeopardy on this. Now, I said that, and some people would just say, forget that, I'm not going to try any of it. That's the fear. That's how they're going to get this. And yet, what I've noticed when you bring it forward like that, and going back to our miners that go up in the mountains, facing government, armed government cops, the military, shutting everybody off, a place off, they pass through. Because ultimately, the civil order actually hasn't gone away. That's those laws that sit there to allow you to move through. The abdication of one official is not the abdication of your government, nor is your abdication as a posterity, if I can say you there, and if they want to deny that, they've just denied their own existence. So don't be afraid about bringing these things forward. And you're getting to this point. So China responds in an apology. Big deal. Big deal, folks. That's government. They're not here to help you and look ahead and be empathetic and be your partner in a real where you're just to kind of working together to help everything out. They make some presumptions that they place equally on everybody in a mentality of subjection. You're walking into that if you have an answer. You're walking right into that. So be careful, but don't not. Make sure to not avoid doing that if you need to. Anybody walking anywhere out in these places, they're supposed to be under isolation. Has to be really listening to what I've been saying over the bag of law, your bag of facts, your challenging. First, have in your mouth the exemption they readily recognize. Don't go without that one. But so when they're out and about, or even for yourself, I wanted to understand, what is it these military people are protecting against? How do they know? How do they identify it? How are we identifying it? What is this thing? And now, last night I did quite a bit of study. I got way too almost lost in this thing. But I'm still interested. What is this coronavirus really? You have to understand, I read scientific documents, the ones I can understand. I don't have a ton of time, but I try to get a good perspective on all this. I'm trying to figure out, how do I tell I've got it? This is a serious thing. How do you tell? Well, if how do I tell is a question, how do they tell? Well, I picked up quickly differentiating coronavirus from allergies and colds. Why? Because this is springtime, right? We just went through spring. They got us right at the right time when your symptoms are going to match up if you have an allergy together with what the symptoms of any immune response are, isn't it? And any other immune system problem that you might have, correct? So how do you know? They give us some indication on what they're looking at. And then they tell you something I've told you before. It used to be in the documents they're not promoting. And it says this statement. Coronaviruses are largely responsible for the common cold. So there is going to be similarity between the symptoms of COVID-19 and the common cold. Now some people have said, well, is it just allergy? Because we're getting into allergy season right now. And this is the big clue. I don't want to go through all this. All of you can get these links later. I'm just touching concepts. That's the big clue. This is a coronavirus for the common cold. You've already been told they can't cure the common cold. They cannot create, because of the, we talked about the science behind this, because of the nature of a coronavirus, they really can't make a vaccine anyway, and so they went to the RNA style, which is totally brutal. But coronaviruses are largely responsible for the common cold. Why is it special? How is it special? If it's a coronavirus, it's COVID-19, how do we know it's different? What's the test? What do we do? What they say in this one result is the type of cough you have. If it's a dry cough, you might go be thinking that it might be something that you or consider the coronavirus. If it's one with phlegm and you're coughing something up, likely not. You also have allergies responding. You have your throat gets itchy or something that isn't a symptom of this common cold this year. It's a terrible common cold, but a common cold nonetheless. How have they identified COVID-19? I don't know. But the type of cough may differentiate how to check this out. Read that article. Don't let yourself get into this wild ride. And as I say, the dry cough thing, I've had some people talk to me before this got blown out in places that haven't been known to have the COVID-19. In a couple of places, they've talked about having a cough. A flu took them down with a cough that was dry, and then now they're back, and they've survived. So I don't know. This is a flu. It's a common cold. They admit it in this story. But check your cough so that you don't get overwhelmed in how does anybody who listens to you know that you've got COVID-19, this threat? And I'm still looking for the test, so yesterday I just kind of got wrapped up a bit into it. What is the test? They keep saying they got a test. What is this test? If it's given it's a coronavirus and there's thousands, how are they identifying this one? And so I went to the CDC. I finally found a place. It's so hard to find this information. And they write so obscurely about it is another clue. But let me talk about, this kind of picked up on the idea that also came up about HIV test. Where there was no real serology test for it. It was really more a clinical diagnosis. Well, so that's how I started to key into the words that we have to use. It's more science, more medical. A serology test for COVID-19 from the CDC site. Folks, listen very, very carefully. For those of you that are having to go out and about and you're up against a isolation order against this boogie virus, and they are making a presumptive deference reliance on CDC, you need to listen to this. Because I've been asking, what's the test? Not just that, where's the test? What's the test? What are you seeing? They're telling us what they're working on. CDC is working to develop a new laboratory test to assist with the efforts to determine how much of the U.S. population has been exposed to severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2, SARS-CoV-2. Listen carefully here, folks. They're looking for a test to identify SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. Let me slow up here, because you can't miss the points. There is no test. They're working on one, but it's not for COVID. COVID is what? It's an effect of what? A coronavirus. One of thousands. The serology test will look for the presence of antibodies, which are specific proteins made in response to infections. Can I say that again? It's checking for response to infections. Did you hear it? It's checking for COVID-19. Did you hear? It's checking for SARS-CoV-2. No, it's checking for response to infections. This is from the CDC's website for how they test for this thing. Antibodies can be found in the blood and in other tissues of those who are tested after infection. Period. I guess I got to say that because you think I'm holding something out. Period. After infection. Period. Not infection of SARS, not infection of COVID, not infection of whatever. just infection in general. The antibodies detected by this test indicate that a person had an immune response to SARS-CoV-2, whether symptoms developed from infection or the infection was asymptomatic. Antibody test results are important in detecting infections with few or no symptoms. Initial work to develop the serology test for SARS-CoV-2 is underway at CDC. In order to develop the test, the CDC needs blood samples from people who have COVID, who've had COVID at least 21 days after their symptoms first started. Researchers are currently working to develop the basic parameters for the test. Can I say that again? They're currently working to develop the basic parameters for the test, which will be refined as more samples become available. Once the test is developed, the CDC will need additional samples to evaluate whether the test worked as intended. That statement tells me the CDC has no test for COVID-19, the very thing they have you sitting in your house over. They don't even, and that's only an effect. The cause is another coronavirus that causes the common cold, they say. And they don't have that test. And so I'm back to the question, what are these people telling me? How much can I rely on it? How trustable is it? And do they, when they say they're testing for it, are they actually? By their own words, and you should copy that out and have it in your bag of law, it says that they do not test for COVID. They do not say, they don't even have a test for SARS-2, COVID-2. They only test that you've had an infection in the past and your body responded to it. Is the proof you have an immune system is all. Now, how reliable is the CDC information anyway? And I'd forgotten about this. I did this proof a long time ago in the BLM and with the Forest Service. I wanted to know how can we, much can we trust their information, because I kept finding it lying and it didn't meet the law and all this other nonsense that they'd pull off. And I remembered this weekend, I said, oh, I forgot to go look at the CDC's disclaimer section. And boy, do they have a ton. So let me read a few of those. If, for those of you who think you can, they want to say you got to rely on the CDC. Every time you mention the coronavirus in a YouTube, they got to stick that CDC link over there underneath your video. Or you go to even DuckDuckGo, and disappointing that is. The big old, it takes up half the page. Go to CDC for the information. Here's what you can rely on here for CDC. Go ahead and rely on the fact they don't have a test, because that's the truth. You can see that one. That's clear. They don't have a test. They tell you what the test does. It has nothing to do with finding COVID. It has to do with whether or not they're going to find you've had an immune response recently within the test confined. That's by their own words. Do you think that's enough to keep you isolation in place? Do you think that's enough to put a quarantine on you? Well, it is, isn't it? Because that's where you all are. Instead of you bringing a bag of law, you put this together and you challenge the so-called authority now that says otherwise. Okay, liability disclaimer. And this is from one subdomain of the CDC, NPIN. National Prevention Information Network. NPIN does not warrant or assume any legal liability or responsibility for the accuracy, completeness, or usefulness of any information, apparatus, product, or process disclosed in abstracts or documents available from the NPIN website. Copyright disclaimer from the CDC to the NC website, that the conclusions, findings, or opinions expressed by authors contributing to this journal do not necessarily reflect the official position of the United States Department of Health and Human Services, the Public Health Service, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or authors' affiliated institutions. Use of trade names is for identification only and does not imply endorsement by the Public Health Service by the use of the United States Department of the Health and Human Services. This website on the CDC Gov website has a next notice, registration, emerging infections, decisions, registered, is a registered service mark of the United States Department of Health and Services. Its registered number is such and such and thus, and from the patent office and trademark office, if you didn't think they're not kind of tied in there. But none of that is endorsed. Let me go to another one. Please go find them, folks. This is from the CDC itself. Liability disclaimer does not warrant or assume legal liability, responsibility, accuracy, completeness, or usefulness of any information, apparatus, product, or process disclosed, or abstracts or documents available from the HIV Risk Reduction Tool website. That's critical because they're also bringing information or not giving you information, which they also wouldn't underwrite because they're not giving it to you, about all the HIV antiviral drugs they're trying to now press down your throat. Notice that they've attached, they're now talking about chloroquine when they could attach a big expensive antiviral to it. Pay attention to how they did that as well. Let's go see the CDC iTunes disclaimer. Can you trust this information, folks? This is what they say you have to trust in. Go copy these disclaimers and have them in your bag of law. Have them in your bag of facts for someone that's a decision maker locally, because ultimately the local civil power is what gives itself up for the military to take over. CDC iTunes disclaimer. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I gave you a link to a DuckDuckGo search about what CDC iTunes covers, and we'll read a couple of those, but you can just see them. I didn't know what it was. Apparently it's an app that goes on a phone, and they give you, it's a portal of information. That's a serious problem, because that means now it takes off the wraps of it being just strictly HIV or strictly from information source or whatever external or a subdomain. This is the stuff from the CDC itself on your iPhone, that control device as well. The materials embodied in the software are as is, without warranty of any kind, and express, implied, or otherwise, including without limitation, any warranty of fitness for a particular purpose. In no event shall the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, or the United States, U.S. government be liable to you or anyone else for any direct, special, incidental, indirect, or consequential damage of any kind, or any damages whatsoever, including without limitation, loss of profit, loss of use, savings or revenue of, or the claims of third parties, whether or not CDC or the United States government has been advised of possibility of such loss, however caused, and on any theory of liability arising out of or in connection with the possession, use, or performance of this software. The CDC is not responsible for confidentiality of information shared by the owner or user of the device with other parties. CDC is not responsible for information shared with third parties through loss of the theft of the device. This application is not intended to provide medical advice. Any questions regarding the user's personal and medical condition should be directed to the applicant's user's primary care physician. Use of trade names, commercial sources, and private organizations is for identification only, and does not imply endorsement of the United States Department of Health or Human Services. That's through the app. And commercial trade names, those names they give you in all caps, there are identifiers, aren't they, as well? But let me stay on this other thing. So there's nothing here in the app that you can rely on. The software itself, or what it provides to you. What does it provide to you? Just a couple things that come up. Well, the very first thing that comes up, the CDC on the App Store, this is a joke, right? Okay, now we get down to what the App Store says. It's a quick access to the CDC and ACIP recommended immunization schedules, complete with footnotes. This is the stuff they don't warrant, folks. It's on there. It's access to health information, says another lead. The CDC opioid prescription guideline mobile application. It's on and on. This iTunes disclaimer invalidates everything as trustable. Carry that with your bag of law, because they're going to rely on what? What did the court rely on? An interim guidance from a company with trade names that has deference to your life and over your life, because no one stepped up and said otherwise, and that judge is not different than the government. You all know that, but you don't know how to get at that. I'm telling you how to get at that. So, do you want to trust the CDC when their disclaimers from everywhere source says you can't trust in this information? It's the same thing I talked to we started to send out to the BLM and the Forest Service. We can't trust anything you say. And there's principle behind that, folks. You deal with the government at your peril and to your direct responsibility. I don't know if you picked up something either when I read that they even have a disclaimer against suing the government. Why did they do that when no court will allow you to sue the government? Because they're so-called sovereign. Why did they even say that unless they're not? Now, you'll never get that brought out. That the other occupation that sits here to control that, you'll never bring it out. But when you start seeing the world through this spaghetti Western false front of what appears to be authority, and you find out it's not, I'm asking you to drop all your baggage with it and sit down and rethink about this stuff. Don't get lost in it. Throw it where it belongs and rethink the condition. It's what I speak. By when you do that, you may start to understand what I've been talking about, how you approach this, why you bring out certain pieces of information to prove that all the stuff they bring doesn't have actual authority, it can't be relied on, and ultimately you're throwing out the presumption cannot be relied on as a presumption. They now have to be forced to bring the proof. How are they going to go to bring a proof that there's a test when you already have the evidence? They don't even have a test. They're still working on the basic foundation. What did I tell you about the presumptive nature of this? I've talked to you about it already. This is not even new stuff. How does the system talk about this? It's important to understand. This goes on here now. So I brought up the HIV. You can't trust anything they say. But I kind of looked at that whole point was a clinical analysis for HIV. They wanted to dump a whole bunch of antiviral drugs on you. You notice one's attached to the chloroquine one or the hydrochloroquine, whatever the one that they're talking about. I talked to you about that weeks ago. That was a possibility. How come it costs $5 a dose for United, roughly $5 a dose in the United States and 4 cents a nickel or so outside the United States? Why wasn't that just part of the off-label use? Why didn't we just start doing that? Before we brought in the military, before we started this potential isolation, how about if we just were nice and say, listen, you know, it's a lot nicer if you just stay at home for a while. In fact, we're going to give incentives to the businesses to go ahead and keep you away for a while. Just take some time off for them. Give us all a chance. No, they go right to the military. Why? Because that's where they need people, minds of the generations of people to start understanding and to forget that they have the authority. But how do we start going through this? A story, again, came up through John Rappaport's blog. A medical code worker makes startling statements. Had to do with the insurance. Has to do with what are they doing about this? I'm asking the question, how do I know it's COVID? Well, now I know it isn't COVID. It can't even be SARS-CoV-2 because they don't even have the test. It's a bunch of puff and smoke, apparently, just like the pig fly flu. And you now can get the proof in your hand to prove this out, to go at least talk to people in your town. Say, listen, this might be the common cold, and it may be serious, and some of us may die, but let's go stand in the sun for a while and take some zinc and some micronutrient nutrients and drink water out of a copper cup, right, Grimner? How about if we do some of that for ourselves? We don't know what the system treats this of. The information coming from John Rappaport's medical code taker shows that they don't have a serology test that they'll rely on where the physician does a clinical analysis that says you've got HIV AIDS. It's AIDS. Your whole medical attack here that's been coming from the government is all based on tests they haven't regularly formulated. You copy down like the stuff from John Rappaport. Boy, I think about it. He should really sit down and bullet point all these points and then just present those in a PDF of how this thing can't be established. That would be the thing that you use. You don't present all that. You just make the statements that it can't. You just make the facial challenge to the presumption, and you attach these and these proofs as attachments, addendums. And I've learned to do that. We did this against the government, BLM, doing coordination. You can't talk too much to these people, so you got to kind of bullet point it out. But you attach all your proof as attachments, so when they read it, they only have a couple sheets to read. John Rappaport's website, if you go through it, you'll find a ton of things you could use as bullet points to at least challenge the presumption that a judicial official not having the authority to capitulate to did. Those judges should be kicked out immediately. And then you can bring the trial forward, again, at a distance, right? But have I told you to do that? How I've told you to do that is you don't need to be there in the court because it should be facial on the record, correct? I've been telling you this forever that I've been talking to you about this. John Rapoport makes another great contribution identifying another way to prove the way the system receives these so-called diseases is not more than an observation made by someone under the state's license, and there actually isn't any test, and none expected. There's no standard. Now, I don't understand why people don't see here the power in being able to not just argue that there's no COVID. You say the CDC, you rely on the CDC. The CDC says there's no test. Where are you getting your information? And then they bring up the so-called test, and you say, that doesn't, from the CDC's own one piece of page, what, half a page, it says it's not testing COVID. It's testing I have an immune system. Where does that give you police power to infringe on me? Go find the people that actually have it. If I have an immune system, I'm going to come out positive, aren't I? Because part of the test is looking at you. Part of the test is having the doctor or the clinician just make the statement. And if you don't have the answers like I've told you correctly, they just go ahead and presumptively throw you into the pile. And yet we have evidences that there's really nothing going on. And not the level that's going on, but not the levels of harm that they're talking to invoke military rule. Obvious to us, not the one behind I've been talking about. Coronavirus. Japan company launches 15-minute testing kit as the government ramps up screening. What are they looking for, folks? If they just, CDC just said that they're not looking for COVID-19. They're looking for whether or not you have an immune system. Remember, I just read, you just heard that. There should be no debate at all on this point. None. What does this test do? Well, they found another way, and you go down and read this thing, you go down far enough, and they have found a 15-minute, now it doesn't take 6 hours, and they jam a big swab down the back of your throat, which does what, folks? It takes cells from there. Is that in your body? Is that proven it's effective? No, that's going to prove that you have an immune system response. I think I get that when I get a scratchy throat from an allergy reaction, don't I? Well, whether they're testing for that or not, is they stab a swab in the back of your neck, they culture it for a few hours. This test does it in 15 minutes. What's the test find? The test looks for what? The antibodies to your immune system response. So now I get to know quicker, which is cool when they have you in detention, quicker I have an immune system. Because the CDC says it's not a test for COVID-19, and it's a positive is not a test for SARS-CoV-2. And I'm saying that, and all of a sudden the voice comes to my mind, in my head, and says, this is not to tell you. This is not a silver bullet. This is one thing in your arsenal. You want some bullets? You want the gun to protect you? I'm giving them to you, but they're verbal and the pen-to-paper type stuff. This is not silver bullet stuff. This is the stuff you put together and you try to convince someone who's got a military-grade IQ and duty that hasn't looked and questioned and really can't question the lawfulness of the order that they're executing, however beneficial, while they're doing law enforcement. And did you see me do the quote marks, folks? I mean, geez. And so, the 15-minute test is just I think it's cool. 15 minutes, you find out you've got an immune system. How am I saying that? The CDC says that the tests only check for an immune response has happened. Have that in your vocabulary. Don't flaunt this, though, as well. The other side is there's a common cold out there that'll kill you if you're susceptible to it, okay? It'll take you down, even. You'll be down for a while. You don't want to mess with that side, either. Be respectful. But when you see obvious oppression coming and ramping up way before anybody's got the real tests, that's a clue. And we as a nation of people should have been standing up against that immediately. We don't need the Second Amendment, and the Second Amendment's useless. I mean, I don't even know what all the words, the adjectives come to my mind that are negative about even thinking that way. One of the key clues, I guess I should say, too, the Guard, National Guard showing up, not likely they will have no guns out. That's the arms. As soon as they start carrying or they have them real close and available, that's going to be really more the time you are there for sure. They try to hide those things away so they don't alarm anyone. If they're close by, I'll say that they're qualifying being armed. And not to make a big deal about it, it's for you to observe. You don't promote what you observe as the truth. You find the way to discuss how they're violating things in that capacity. Now, I want to turn to something here. In this time when we're looking at this COVID-19, and I told you it was interesting, an anomaly that popped up. It popped up in Italy, and then it's gone like wildfire. Inside that story is a whole bunch of interesting things, too. We're finding out now they have such a decrepit health system that they really weren't having the capacity. Also, I want to then say, look at your United States. Did they really have all this preparation they've been doing? Did they ever advance that they needed more ventilators to have them available? Or are they in a panic about those? Shows you your government doesn't care about you. The land of plenty doesn't have enough ventilators is just a phenomenal thought to my mind at all. Anyway, coronavirus may have been in Italy for weeks before it was detected. And this is a whole other train of thought, but what's interesting about Italy is it exposes what are people dying for? Why didn't they see it before? Maybe it's just the coronavirus. And what's interesting is when they do the closer look and they do the tests on the DNA, it's different. It's still a coronavirus. It's one of the thousands. And this one's it's more deadly, but let me offer something there. Look at the numbers. And I don't want to get into this debate, you're looking at spread rates. Forget all that. For right now, we're looking at a condition that's being used as an excuse to put martial law on the world, essentially. You call it lockdown. You don't even realize that your words are telling you live in a prison, an open-air prison I've been describing, but it's worse relative to who's actually controlling and who has the ultimate power that's not checked. And we now see that the established government will back out. The judiciary won't protect anything. So let's look at some of that stuff and work for there. But the coronavirus was not detected. It's different. It's sweeping across Europe over there. It's different, folks. It's a different thing. What's that about? Given it's different, and you look into it, and people are still dying, it says the common cold can kill people. Why? Not because of the COVID-19, an effect of the SARS, if that's what it is, an offshoot branch, a mutation. It's because of the bad health care over there. Also, prior conditions, like heart disease. I understand people in Italy smoke a lot. They have blood diseases, I suppose, I've been told. I mean, I know what I read. If you have any immune response pressure, if your immune system is working, do you think that when you're tested there, you're going to test positive since the test tests for an immune response? If it's natural, do you think people get the common cold? Do you think when you test, you're going to test positive? I'm thinking you're going to find a high number of that. I'm thinking it's the anomaly that becomes up the negative. Why? Because we all should be having an immune system. We all should be having the common cold that gives us some immunity. Those that are negative may be the ones that say what? Oh, that test may be faulty. Because they expect 100% to come out. And if you have an immune system, there's a few people maybe that don't have. That's why they literally live in a bubble. I've heard some kids that do that. But what about Italy? 99% of those who died from virus had other illnesses. So they're coming out and saying, well, we're going to protect a few for locking down everybody, y'all in this prison. You've allowed it. When you look at the facts of it, though, what's coming out now, as we've discussed before, it's not because of the virus. Like the virus, isn't, the COVID isn't even itself. Get that. We're looking at a coronavirus that's not COVID. COVID is the effects that you get. 99% of the people in Italy they're a high level. They're at 9 or just over 9% death rate. But that's still within the latitude of a bad year, which remember was 11, at least for the United States numbers. And now we have the probability that their health system is all messed up. They don't really understand how this is supposed to work. They're not prepared. Now, again, John Rapoport comes up, a very brief update. He writes, read this carefully. Many people who are diagnosed as coronavirus cases in Italy and then died were almost certainly put on antiviral drugs. As you will see below, the significant percentage of these people had prior heart conditions or high blood pressure, but at least one of the antiviral drugs called ribavirin carries this very relevant warning from cardiosmart.org. Ribavirin may decrease the number of red blood cells in your body. This is called anemia and can be life-threatening in people who have heart disease and circulation. High blood pressure is a circulatory problem. Understand? Get it? Life-threatening. So how many of coronavirus patients have been killed by the administering of ribavirin is a question. We don't have these answers. What we do have is little things we can look around. We can see because it said in this document it brings it to the Petri dish, diamond Petri dish princess that was that boat offers an insight. It's very important to start looking. It has problems in the data, but I don't think so much as to understand what it's telling us that we can apply in the real world that interestingly correlate. Okay, says Willis Essenbach. Okay, here's my question. We had a perfect Petri dish corona disease COVID experiment with the cruise ship Diamond Princess. That's the cruise ship that ended up in quarantine for a number of weeks and after a number of people tested positive for coronavirus. I got to wondering what the outcome of the experiment was. And this guy goes through this, Willis Eskenbach, goes through an analysis of the data that he's found. And there's problems here and there, but I'm not really, it didn't come out because we can show when you bring it out of the Petri dish, the Princess Petri dish, it's reflected by doctors who are telling us better information. Essentially, 80% of you aren't affected by this, first of all. Those that are affected, they put it on an age basis. Those that are younger, not the youngest don't get affected. The ones right above that, teenagers right below and right above, you have the most symptoms. Middle-aged people, not so much symptoms. Old people, maybe no symptoms at all, but the interesting thing is all the old people without symptoms die. You don't even know you have it. And so there's a whole lot of things to read inside of here. Why? Because you want to start having a proof counter the presumption that you're locked down for, and now you know you live in a prison, an open-air prison, like I've been telling you. This kind of excited me a little bit as I think about it and get a little bit excited. You now see you can be locked down on the flimsy of non-evidence, just a suggestion. And nobody responds. It's really, that's where I get a little bit sad here. I don't even know what to call it. See that? Tongue-tied. It's really a disgrace. If we have any idea that we have a freedom to live, to be free, and free in a construct that allows respect for everybody. We need to be focusing our attention on those that are that have the problem. Not the kids that are going to get the flu, get knocked down like you did when you were young and stand back up after a few weeks. They're going to show the symptoms of it. Not those of us that have been going through so many common colds through our lives. We don't respond. Where are we focusing our attention? On the military is a clue. And there's another, I'll put two more links in here. The coronavirus is not being, the decisions are made without reliable data to confirm what I told you before about the CDC. Just telling you that if you just read that stuff. Two more links, I won't talk too much more about them. I'm going to run out of time here. But the coronavirus is, decisions are made without any reliable information. It's critical to understand this. They're making decisions to take away your civil liberties without any reliable information, and you're not presenting that fact to anybody to stop them from taking to keep you locked down. Thank you, Gritter, for what you do at reallibertymedia.com. Appreciate it and all the things you do to keep things going. And UCY.TV, thank you over there for simulcasting and Sound Minds. Thank you and all the chatters over there. Normalization of ignorance. I appreciate it. Everybody in Minds and anybody else on BitChute, folks, thanks for passing this out. And so I understand thumbs up and stuff means something, so let's see if we can get some of that. I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs or Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.